Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Respected ulama, elders and brothers, all of us know that we are at a very crucial stage insofar as our preparation for the month of Ramadan goes. All focus is on the month of Ramadan. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has enlisted a few categories of fast of different kinds of people. He says first is the category of that roza, of that fast, of the general populace, the general ummah, in that we abstain from eating, from drinking, and fulfilling our carnal desires, and that is where it all stops. Then you get the category of the awliya, the pious saints, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted. Their fast and their roza is one stage above the stage, in that besides keeping away from eating and drinking and fulfilling one's carnal desires, they also keep away their entire bodies away from the disobedience of Allah. Not only in the month of Ramadan, but on a perpetual, continuous basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that realization. Then we come to the fast of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. That besides not eating and abstaining from the eating and drinking, and keeping away from carnal desires in a state of roza, besides that, Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam are ma'asum, they are sinless. They keep their limbs and their organs and their senses away from every kind of guna, be it major, be it minor. And over and above that, the soum of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam is, they keep their hearts away from ma'asi wallah, from every force, from every kudrat, every might and power, but the power of Allah. In other words, their hearts are immersed, their hearts are saturated with the kudrat and the power of Allah. Their hearts are always focused towards Allah, directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one kitab, in Madairul Haqq, just to illustrate, at the time when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was thrown into that magnanimous fire, one can understand the intensity of the heat. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam reaches the fire. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam comes to Ibrahim and he says to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam as a word of advice, that this is the time you need to lift your hands. This is the time you need to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was the heart of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam? What was his ma'rifat of Allah? What was his yaqeen? What was the faith and conviction that he had about the Nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time he responds to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salat wa salam, and he says, "My Allah knows my condition, my Allah will help me." Brothers, that is the kind of heart that the Anbiya alayhi salat wa salam had. Besides that, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written an incident of the great Sahabi Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We all should know some basic facts of each and every Sahabi of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all will know that Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was from amongst the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 Sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in one majlis, in one sitting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides that, Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was mustajabu da'wat. He was that Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whose du'as were ever readily accepted by Allah. After Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had passed on, he had left this world, Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in his old age, he had become blind. And on this occasion, he makes and he undertakes a journey to Makkah Mukarramah. Now we can understand the scenario and we will relate to this. That when a great wali is coming into Durban, then everybody will flock and throng to the Durban International Airport. And this ummah is always known to have respect and honor for the great awliya. And we can imagine it is Makkah Mukarramah. It is the time of the great tabi'een. And now they hear of the coming of a sahabi of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people all throng and they come to the entrance of Makkah. And when Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu makes his appearance, it is only natural that he is a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salam, and that sahabi whose du'as are accepted by Allah. So people together with meeting him, they are going to request du'as from Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And they begin to request their du'as. In the narration, each person asked Hazrat Sa'd to make du'a for himself, for his parents, for his children. And like that people asked. There was a young person who was a qari of the Quran. He was renowned for his qiraat. He sat aside and he watched all the people go and they asked Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu for various du'as, etc. And Hazrat Sa'd continued to make du'a for these people. When everyone had completed the request, the young qari goes to Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and he also asked for him to make du'a, his request for du'a. And then he said, "I've got a question to ask you. Oh, Sahabi of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are blind and you cannot see. A great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been taken away from you. So why is it that you are not beseeching Allah to make dua? Why do you not make dua that Allah reinstate your eyesight?" Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu looked at this, turned towards this young person and he said, "My brother, when my Allah is happy with me in this state, then Sa'd is also happy." So respected and beloved friends, this is that kind, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard on various occasions that amongst the many, many benefits of fast, amongst the objectives of the roza, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may attain this quality of taqwa. Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi has expressed that when one wants to understand the meaning of taqwa in the context that it comes in the Quran Kareem and in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salat wa salam and relate it to the month of Ramadan, then there is a barometer by which we can judge our taqwa. First of all, one needs to ascertain one's inclination and one's liking to of sin and the inclination of guna and sin. And then comes the month of Ramadan, in which we excel in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the month of Ramadan comes to an end, then again we need to introspect. Has the inclination of sin somewhat lessened or heightened in our lives? And that becomes the barometer as to why, whether we have attained this objective. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the eve of Ramadan had addressed Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum in a lengthy riwayat, in a lengthy hadith, One aspect of that hadith, some advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to what should we be doing in the month of Ramadan. On the outset, we understand that it is the month of the Quran, an abundant recitation of the Quran Kareem in this month of Ramadan is an ibadat that goes without saying. But together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised this ummah that increase and abundantly repeat the kalima, the shahada, la ilaha illallah. Now when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words in the context of the month of Ramadan, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is commanding us, is advising us that we increase our dhikrullah, increase our la ilaha illallah, increase the recitation of the kalima tayyiba. When we look at this kalima tayyiba, and we look at it in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, friends, we will understand how appreciated the kalima is in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayhi has narrated a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about a person who will come to the courts of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Allah will bring this person in front of everyone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him his book of deeds. 99 book of deeds will be presented to this person. And each one of the 99 book of deeds will be as far as the eye can see. 99 book of deeds, and each one of them would be as far as the eye can see. And in these books of deeds will be enlisted the sins, the wrongs, the disobedience, the guna of this individual. There will be not a single good. When this person begins to realize this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him. Allah will ask him, has any good deed been omitted? Has any wrong that has been wrongfully put in? Has the angels made a mistake? Whilst this person begins to answer to Allah, Allah will respond and say, La zulma al-yawm. On this day there will be no zulm. The person is endeavoring to answer Allah. And on the other hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his mind and his heart is engrossed in the fact that what is going to happen to me. He will admit to Allah that there is not a single good deed omitted, nor a single evil deed that has been put there unjustly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out a small piece of paper. And Allah says to him, by this piece of paper, your najat and your emancipation will be made. What is on this paper? The kalima la ilaha illallah. Placed on the pans then, are 99 books of deeds. That is as far as the eye can see. And one kalima la ilaha illallah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that kalima la ilaha illallah will outweigh that 99 books of evil deeds, and Allah will give this person jannat. Respected and dear friends, obviously that kalima la ilaha illallah has to be one of essence. Like in the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses the words mukhlisa. That person who says the kalima la ilaha illallah with ikhlas, with sincerity. So in this month of Ramadan, we endeavor to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of making the dhikr, let us also understand the qudrat of Allah, the power, the might of Allah. Let us understand that there is no way of life, but the way of life that has been chalked out to us by Allah Rabbul Izzat. The tariqah and the method shown to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other being that we will be obedient and subservient to but Allah Jalla Shanuhu. When that kind of kalima comes, then that type of iman will also be developed and built. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, the second is istighfar. Now when we speak of istighfar, and we all understand that abundantly we are sinners, we violate the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the muttaqoon, when Allah speaks about those who have the quality of taqwa, and when we tie it up to the month of Ramadan, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, then in two ayahs of the Quran that we will very briefly discuss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us one quality of taqwa. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. What is the quality of those people who have taqwa within themselves? Allah says that when they are afflicted by the touch of shaitan, when they are deviated by shaitan, تَذَكَّرُوا, they begin to remember Allah. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and then their eyes open to the reality, and of course they seek tawbah and istighfar. In the time of Sayyidina Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they lived a merchant, a person who used to sell kajur, dates. And there was this woman that often came to purchase her dates from him. And one day, his desire got the better of him. He intended a promiscuous, illicit relationship with this woman. And as he had done so, immediately he reflected. And he reflected, and the thought of Allah had come into his heart. Brothers, how fortunate was Sahaba Ikiram, and how fortunate were those pious ancestors of ours, that even in a state when their nafs, their desires and shaitan got hold of them, in a state of disobedience or the intention of disobedience, at that time they remembered Allah. May Allah make it a reality in our lives that in the itaat and the obedience of Allah we remember Allah. We in the masjid, we perform our salat, we remember Allah. Then at the time when we are disobedient, Allah forbid, then at least at that time also we will remember Allah. This person immediately hastens off to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Allah's Nabi received wahi from Allah. When Allah Rabbul Izzat says and speaks about Jannah, and Allah says, "U'iddat lil-muttaqin," that Jannah has been prepared for the muttaqeen, those who have the quality of taqwa. Amongst those ayats referring to this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ, that those people, when they carry out an immodest act, or they transgress the rules and violate the rules of Allah, then they remember Allah in that state. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا, they seek repentance from Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, who is there to forgive sins but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beloved friends, in this month of Ramadan, those are the two actions that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has spoken about. The abundance of the kalima tayyiba, tawbah and istighfar. Faqih Abu Layth Samarkandi rahmatullah alayhi has stated that there are certain signs by which one will understand that his tawbah is being accepted by Allah. The very first will be his tongue. His tongue will be well guarded. It will be well guarded from futile speech, from backbiting, slandering, hurting the others. Secondly, his heart will become free of jealousy, enmity and malice. The third is he will always be in the company of the saliheen and the pious servants of Allah. And the fourth is he will make a determined preparation for maut. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam states that the other two actions, these first two, is what Allah becomes pleased with. The other two actions that abundantly you carry out in the month of Ramadan is to seek and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannat. Ask Allah Rabbul Izzat for Jannat. Ulama have written that there are three dominant qualities of a Jannati. One is, he does good to those people who try to harm him. He does good to those people who try to harm him. Number two, he is ever forgiving, he forgives even his oppressors. And number three, he spends on those people who withhold their spending from him. Those are three predominant qualities of a Jannati. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam says, to seek refuge from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah accept our ibadat in the month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan like how in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah had made many, many a Ramadan of victory for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.